We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
I bring you a series of morning messages on the third chapter of the Gospel of John, where Nicodemus went to Jesus one night. Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a scholar and a gentleman, and an outstanding religionist, went to Jesus one night and said, "We know you're a teacher, not only a teacher, but a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." Now that was the conclusion of a normal, intelligent man. Jesus said to him he'd have to be born again. He said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus, as you remember, asked him the question, "How can these things be? How can a man be born again when he's old? How can that happen?" He didn't realize that Jesus Christ was talking to him about something else. But Jesus said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, being born of the water has to do with the natural birth. I'm not discussing that with you, but you can talk to any of your doctors about that. And it ought to be clear to any doctors, because my attention was called to it by a physician one time, a Christian physician. First time I was just a young fellow. "Except a man be born of water," that's the natural birth, "and of the Spirit." In other words, a Christian is a dual person. He's born in this world in the flesh. He's born again, he becomes a new creation. The word "new creature" there means new creation. He's a new creation. He's something he wasn't before. And he's a dual personality. He's born into this world, and he's born into the kingdom of God. Now Nicodemus said, "How can these things be?" And Jesus said, "You're a teacher in Israel? You're a teacher, and the most essential thing you don't know? The most important thing?" Now, if what Jesus said is true, and I don't say if with any question in my mind, I know what he said was true. If what he said was true, the fundamentally important thing for everybody is to be born again. Now, that's the most important thing in the world. If a man cannot enter the kingdom of heaven any other way, if that's essential to eternal life, then a man who isn't born again is in a bad fix, see? He's in this world, he's an immortal being, of course. He's going to die, but he lives his life in the flesh and dies in the flesh and goes out into hopeless eternity. But a man who's born again, it doesn't matter if he dies. His flesh can go back to dust, but his spirit goes to the God that gave it. You can take him and bury him, but he isn't dead. He's alive forevermore. He has eternal life. Now, eternal life is the life of Jesus Christ. Eternal life, not immortality. Now, immortality and eternal life are not the same things. You are living now, but you are dead in sins if you haven't been born again. You are dead in trespasses and sins. Spiritually, you are dead. You are dead to that which is spiritual. There's no response to it. I come to your home and walk up to your bedside to look at you, and you look like you're dead. And I feel your pulse, and there's no pulse. I can't feel it. I get something, listen to your heart, and your heart seems to be beating, but I can't tell exactly if it is very weak. And I hold a little mirror in front of your face to see if there's any possible breathing going on. Maybe there's a little stain on the mirror. I make certain tests to which you respond. You are not dead. If you were dead, there'd be no breath in your nostrils. If you were dead, your heart wouldn't be beating. Your heart may stop for just a little bit without you being dead. But if you're dead, your heart's not beating. Your heart might stop a few beats and you might still live. But if you're dead, it isn't beating. So I say, "Well, he's alive. How do I know?" Well, I made certain tests, see, to which he responded. Now then, if you're alive spiritually, you respond to certain spiritual tests. There's certain tests of spiritual life. What are some of them? Well, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you're alive, you're trying to serve the Lord. You may blunder, you may make mistakes, you may come short in some particulars, but you want to do it anyhow. Another thing else is one test now you always find. If a man's born again, whenever he hears the gospel, he responds to it. Now, when I was converted as a little boy, I didn't know if Jesus Christ died a vicarious substitutional death on the cross. I knew he died for me. That's all I knew. But I didn't know what vicarious meant. I didn't know what substitutional meant. I couldn't have understood that if he had told me, possibly. They said he died for me, and if I'd trust him, he'd save me. And I trust him, and I was saved. Now, I did not have to know what vicarious and substitutional meant to be saved. But I was saved without knowing it. I didn't have to know it. But, you know, I read in the Bible that we should give a reason for the hope that's within us. We have to have hope within us to give a reason. So I heard a series of sermons one time on the subject of the atonement. And the preacher said, Jesus Christ's death was substitution of the vicarious. He died in our place. He died on our account. He took my place, substitutional. That's what it means, vicarious, on my account. Well, I said, that's right. My heart answered to it. You know, I was responding immediately. I said, that's wonderful, isn't it? That's the way it was. Now, if your heart doesn't respond to that kind of a gospel truth, you're not alive spiritually. Now, here's another thing. We read a very wonderful statement in the Bible. I wish I could drive it home. They that know God hear us. Now, he's talking about orthodoxy. He's talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, being God manifest in the flesh. That's the fundamental truth of Christianity. Now, he comes along and says that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Died on the cross, rose from the dead. Now, he said, they that know God hear us. They that know not God do not hear us. See? In other words, you have an ear for the gospel. You have an ear for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you hear him coming with the air of the soul, you're delighted. There's love in your heart for him. You have a response. If you find somebody trying to get people saved, you're responsive. No born-again Christian would ever lift his hand against any student of Bob Jones University that's trying to win people to Jesus Christ. You know, men and women, this is pretty serious business. Everybody talking about heaven's not going there. You know, that's one of the saddest things in the world. So many people are deceived. Now, they think they're all right, you know. They've sold themselves on the idea. They're in good shape. Now, this is a test that you can learn. If you are born again and you hear the gospel, you're happy. If you see God's work going on, somebody getting saved, you're happy about it. You're glad. You wouldn't oppose them for the world. I remember one time a certain preacher in America. I'd heard about him a good deal. I'd never seen him. And from all I heard about him, I didn't like him. I mean, I didn't like his personality. You don't have to always like a man's personality. You know, we all not alike anyhow. Somebody said, I'm glad everybody's not alike. Said, if everybody's like me, they want my wife. Another fellow said, if everybody's like me, wouldn't anybody have your wife? See? You may have different tastes. You may like a different style. But your love for the gospel is stronger than your taste. See? It doesn't matter if a fellow preaches poor English. I know a man that's such an English scholar. If a fellow uses mistaken English, he might be preaching the gospel, but this fellow wouldn't forgive him. Well, I'd rather a man that have good gospel than good English. The gospel's the power of God and the salvation, even if it's preached in poor English. And you can preach in poor English and get it to the people. Of course, I think you ought to use good English. I think a fellow ought to take time out to learn how to use good English. But I wouldn't let my love of beautiful literature and language keep me from saying thank God if a man preached the gospel and got people saved. Well, I heard about this preacher, you know, and I went to hear him in a certain city. I went there prejudicing against him. I listened to him. He preached the gospel. I heard him clear through. When he got through, he gave an invitation. And it was a clear-cut invitation that I've ever heard given. And my having been the evangelist, I'm a pretty good judge of that sort of thing. So he called for those who wanted to be saved and explained the plan of salvation to them. Well, from that day on, I never let my taste affect me and my attitude towards that man. I still think his personality had some faults in it. And I guess he'd think that about me, too. And I still think that his style was a peculiar sort of style. But it occurred to me one day that his style may be different from my style and different from the style of somebody I might admire more. But I said to myself, that man is giving a message. That's the most precious message in the world. Now, you can find out about this thing. If your heart's right, you are responding to what I'm saying now. If you're right now, listen, you are saying in your heart, that man's right if you're right. I've learned after these years of preaching the word and studying the Bible about these things. Somebody asked me one time, said, how many people around Greenville are for Bob Jones University? I said, every man, woman, boy, and girl who are born again, who know the things for which Bob Jones University stands, if they know what we stand for, if they have the truth about what we stand for, all of them are for Bob Jones University, because Bob Jones University stands for the gospel and always has and shall continue till the Lord comes. Now, there are certain tests you can find, whether you're alive or not. You know, the sweetest music you can hear if you're a Christian is a sacred music. Oh, you may have classical music. You enjoy music. That's all right. Nothing wrong. But nothing ever moved me like an old hymn sung by the saints of God because of the message of the hymn, the gospel message there. It's a powerful message. They that know God hear us. Now listen, he that has a son has life. If you are saved, you have Christ, and he's the one that saves you. And you're happy when they have him exalted. And when anybody reflects on him, you resent it. When they say he wasn't virgin born, it's insulting your Lord, insulting you. They said when he was here, we are not born of fornication, implying that he was that blessed, wonderful Son of God. And you want to have him exalted. You don't want him shoved around, not if you're born again. Now, you better find out about this thing, see? You better be sure about it. Now, he said, Jesus answered and said to them, art thou a master of Israel? And you don't know these things? Verily, verily, I say thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. I'm going to talk to you about that verse at a future program, the Lord willing. We tell what we've seen. We give you what we know. Our evidence is genuine, said the Lord. Men and women, this Christianity business is real. Jesus is real. The blood's real. Salvation's real. You can be just as definitely born of God and become a new creation just as truly and definitely as you were ever born in this world. That's your privilege. Now, if you accept Christ, that settles it. If you receive him, that settles it. If you receive him, you have him. If you have him, you're saved. Salvation is in Christ, not in a church, not in an ordinance. It's in Christ. It's nowhere else. He is the only way. There's salvation in no other name except in the wonderful, blessed name of the Son of God. Now, if you haven't trusted him, God help you do it. Our Father, help somebody to trust you today, to be saved. Bless these messages we're giving morning after morning to try to get the gospel of God's grace to as many people as possible. Pour the power of God out upon this institution and keep it ever faithful. Keep us all true to thee. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.